This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Hello again. We want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word podcast. It's been a few weeks. We had Redemption Week, and then we had some other things sometimes just get in the way, like work. I know Matt knows what I'm talking about. But we're glad to be back here with you this morning, or whatever time you may be listening. And we're going to go back and continue looking at Achan. We started looking at a few weeks ago some characters from the Old Testament. We began looking at Achan, and we talked about that from Joshua 7, verses 19 through 21. We talked about the attraction of temptation, how he was tempted by the lust of the worldly goods. We talked about he coveted things and he took them back in Joshua 7:21. And we know that he paid the price for that. And we're going to begin today by looking at our final point here, looking at the impossibility of secret sin. If you look at Numbers chapter 32, looking at verse 23, here the Bible says, but if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, we know this is, you know, this is kind of in context. There's a command given, and the idea of if it's not obeyed, you can rest assured God's going to find out about it. You know, we also find, I believe it's in Psalms, how the Lord tells us he looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who are good, who seek God and who understand. I think that's how it goes. And so he clearly sees everything, right? And so with that in mind, that tells us that there's no possible way that we could conceal our sin. But I think before we even get into that idea, but we also have to think about is the reasoning behind trying to hide our sin, trying to make our sin secret. You know, not to say too much here before I give Matt a chance, but, you know, the reason someone wants to hide sin is one because they know it's wrong. I mean, if it's not wrong, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't hide it. The next one may be because you're ashamed of what that sin is. And the third one is you definitely don't want anyone to find out. You don't want anyone to know what you're doing. You want to conceal it. You want it to be your own and have no one aware of it. Well, you know, sin, we understand, separates man from God, and so we have to make sure we repent of those things. Sin, no matter what it is, no matter if we think it's embarrassing or not, we cannot conceal it from God. And if others find out, sometimes that's sometimes how we – if other people find out about a sin that you're doing that was being kept secret, many times, hopefully, that will compel them to repent of that. Now, hopefully – you know, we understand there are private sins, things that are not public knowledge, things that we fail at in our private lives that no one else knows about. Maybe no one but our immediate family, maybe no one but you and your spouse, maybe no one but you. But that's different than trying to conceal it. And if you look here, Numbers 32:23, that really seems to be the idea. Be sure your sin will find you out. The idea being that you cannot conceal sin. You know, even David with Bathsheba, you know, he tried to go on with life like nothing happened, but yet we know that's not the case. You know, he was the Lord sent a messenger to him, and he had to deal with that face to face. And so we want to make sure that we don't desire to conceal our sin. I think when we desire to conceal our sin, it shows that we have the wrong intentions there. And we want to, well, our intention always want to be, should be that we want to repent of our sins. And sometimes we struggle with things, and it may take a while for us to overcome certain things. Maybe it's a certain addiction of some type, but we have to do our very best to overcome that. You know, I can think about, you know, those who are addicted to smoking. You know, people will try to quit cold turkey, and sometimes that's very, very tough, definitely. And sometimes they'll, you know, have a relapse and smoke a few days, and then you realize, you know, hey, I can't be doing this, you know. And so it's very, you know, there's definitely sins that are very hard to overcome. But the idea we're looking at here today is the idea to try to conceal it and prevent God from seeing it. And we realize here that's not possible. So I'm going to pause here for a moment and let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at the impossibility of sin and how that applies to Achan.
Yeah, like you said, no sin is secret. And I think the reason why we conceal sin is because we're scared of somebody's going to find us out. Like, if I sin and I sin, you do anything. I mean, God knows everything. And sin is going to find you out either way. It doesn't matter. I mean, in the end, sin is going to find you out. But we sometimes think, and I think we're kind of raised to, like, I'll be honest with you, when I was a kid, we were raised to, you know, hey, be the happy-go-lucky family at church. But then you go home and you can do whatever you want, basically. Not whatever you want, but you know what I mean. I think there is no sin secret to God. And that's what we need to realize is when we're doing something, God is always watching. God is right there. I mean, God sees it, you know, and sometimes we think that, oh, I'm going to get away with this, or, oh my goodness, I can't tell people this, that I do this, or like you said, an addiction, smoking, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, or pornography or anything, you know, you go around hiding it and hiding it, and hiding it. Sin is going to come out. It's going to come out. It's going to show itself because it always does. That's the way, you know, sin is like a disease. You know, just take somebody who and is suffering from an illness. You may see them start their body depleting. You know that there's something wrong. You know, it's just like sin. Sin will deplete you physically, mentally, spiritually. It's going to show. And I think with Achan, you know, Joshua was like, we need to get this out of here. That's why, you know, we need to confess our sins. We don't have to confess them to each other. I don't need to confess my sins to you, Russ. You don't need to, vice versa, whatever. We need to confess them to God and repent of those things. Now, if we do sin against somebody, yeah, we need to go to him and say, hey, you know, apologize, you know, in that regards. But I think, you know, you have to be willing to not hide, you know, no, as they say, no secrets, you know. And some people are like, they put it all out there. I mean, us as a family, we're very not contained, but, you know, hey, we're a family. We'll take care of things. And, you know, but it's not like big sin thing, you know, like, oh, goodness, big things. But, you know, I think some people just get the fact of, oh, my goodness, I can't tell Russ this. You know, what's he going to think of me? He's going to think of me a bad person. Oh, my goodness, what if I tell Russ this? And, you know, oh, man, now we can't talk, or I feel weird around him or whatever. Yeah, hey, get it out there. Let's talk about it. That's the whole thing. That's what we need to do. All right?
Yeah, and you know, and you think about, and like you said, I think sometimes we confuse. You know, I heard a preacher one time, and he wasn't a very good one, but he said, you know, if you're not willing to tell me what it is, then I'm not going to pray about it for you. And I remember he made this point several times during the lesson, and I thought, you know what, that really is just something somebody. It's not like someone who cares. It's something like someone who's just nosy. You know, if someone wants to tell me, you know, specifically that, hey, I'm dealing with this, would you pray for me about it and give me any ideas what I could try to do? That's a little bit different. If they, you know, if they offer, I'm not going to go delve into it, you know, unless we're talking about something like, I don't know, something much bigger, you know, someone's unfaithful to their spouse or something, which probably they come to you. You probably already know that, right? So, but there's certain things that, you know, we don't need to know everyone's private life and their details. If there's just a struggle that is not, you know, marriage ending, you know, it's something that's, you know, people have hard times. They have struggles, they have difficulties, a variety of different things. And just because we don't know every detail about it doesn't mean we cannot pray about it. You know, James tells us there to confess our trespasses to one another and pray for another that you may be healed. Effective, fervent prayer, righteous man avails much. And you notice he says, confess your sins. Now, we can confess our sins by saying, you know, I'm sinning against God. I'm struggling in an area, you know, with family or struggling with other area of stress or, you know, with temptation. And those are things we can pray for. You don't have to be detailed about it, because I think sometimes people really want details when they really just don't need them, to be honest. We can pray for things and pray for people, and we should be doing that. And I think about here this idea, you know, as we've been talking about how no sin is secret. If you look at Psalm 34, and if you back up to verse 11, and this kind of goes back to, you know, A lot of people want sin to be private because they don't want anyone to know about it. They don't specifically in context the idea of hiding it from God. If you look at Psalm 34 and verse I said yeah, verse 14, not verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 14 says, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." Now, if we are wanting to do that, then we're not going to try to conceal our sin from God. We're going to confess those things to Him and ask God to forgive us of those things and try to avoid those things in the future. Now, that's the difference. People are going to make mistakes. People have slip-ups. They say things they shouldn't. They do things they shouldn't. They think things they shouldn't. I mean, no one's perfect. We're all going to have those times, maybe under times of stress or frustration. You know, we snap at someone. You know, that's just life. Those are things that can happen. But we can repent of those things and work to not have those things happen in the future. And that's the difference here. It's not concealing it. It's departing from evil and doing good, seeking peace and pursuing it, which is the idea of getting those things out of our lives, laying those things down before God and striving to be better. And then in verse 15, he kind of gives us a reminder about how why we need to do this, because the Lord sees everything. Again, Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So he's on the righteous, and he's seeing them. And the thing about this, his ears are open to their cry, which means he's hearing them when they're praying about whatever it may be, you know, sin, persecution, whatever. He is listening. And so we shouldn't be trying to conceal our sin from God. We should be those who are confessing those things in God and trying to be better. Because we also know that one day, you know, judgment is going to come. And the last thing we want to do is find ourselves standing before God and having sin in our lives. So I'm going to pause here for just a moment, let Matt add anything he'd like here.
Yeah, I love that. Depart from evil and do good. It's like, force those things out of you. You know, like, force the bad. Be like, you have to turn away and run from bad things. Right? I mean, that's kind of basically what it's saying. You know, it's like, get those things out of there. But sometimes we think is, you know, like Paul echoed in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceful with all men. Well, how are we going to find peace if we're caught up in sin and caught up in, if I'm not righteous, does God hear me? Sins of a righteous man availeth much, right? But that's why we need to kind of like purge it out of us. We need to, you know, keep it away, you know? And I like what you put down here, is that if it must be done in secret or taught in secret, then it must not be done, right? Achan was, man, he was trying to be so super secretive. He was hiding that stuff under his tent. Nobody knew. Oh, but somebody knew, or God knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we think, is we think we can hide it. We think, nobody's going to see it, you know? But it will come out. It definitely will. And God's judgment, man. I don't want to be on the wrong side of God's judgment. I don't want God to turn his back on me and be stuck in eternal damnation, man. That is a scary thought.
Yeah, you know, the last thing we want is to, you know, and that's kind of my thing about this, things being done in secret. It also reminds me how, you know, Felix, when he talked to Saul, he said, you know, go away for now, whenever you get time, I'll call for thee. And people today will do the same thing with sin. They'll say, you know what, go away for now, and you know, just leave me alone. And when I'm ready, you know, then I'll come to God on my terms. That's what we hear sometimes, on my terms. And well, you know, we have to realize you don't come to God on your terms. You come to God on his terms. And when you come to God on your terms, you're saying, I'm selfish. I don't really need you. And you're completely optional. And that's what that's saying. I mean, can you imagine if your spouse came up to you and said, you know what, I'm going to leave and go do my own thing for 6 months, a year. And I'll come back to you when I'm ready. We'd say, excuse me, what? you know, that would tell us that they don't really care about us, and they don't really, you're not really concerned about us, don't really love you, if they were to do that type of thing. Well, with God, if we say, you know what, I'll come to him on my own terms, I'm gonna keep doing this sin, and I'm gonna conceal it, you know, when I want to, and not conceal some when I want to, whatever. We're saying, telling God basically that we don't need him. And this next point we want to consider is the judgment of God. You know, God's judgment upon Achan and the punishment administered reminds us of a clear fact, and that is that God hates sin. He completely and totally hates sin. We go back to Psalm 34, And verse 16, he says, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." That's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, how can you read that and say, well, God's okay with it? You know, I've heard people say before, I don't think it's a big deal. You know, you really think God's going to send me to hell for that? How many times do you read about how much God hates sin and think, oh, well, I'm different. God's going to treat me differently. You're out of your mind. I mean, that you cannot read the Bible without seeing God hates sin, and he punishes it repeatedly. You think about Adam and Eve were God's part of God's first creation, right? And when they sinned, did he treat them differently? No, he kicked them out of the garden and told them, go out here. You're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Everything's going to be much harder now, and you'll never get back into the garden. And they were part of his first creation, and they didn't get any special treatment either. And so clearly we have to realize that God hates sin. And so, and we think about God's law. Well, God's law is not negotiable. We cannot change it. You know, people want to say, well, I know the Bible says what I believe. Well, that's not how it works. And so we have to be very careful with that. And I'm going to pause there and let Matt ask anything he'd like before we go any further.
Yeah, I'd like to read and going along with that is God's law is not negotiable. His words do not change. Malachi 3:6 is, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed as sons of Jacob." You know, we think about, God's a loving God. He wouldn't do that. Have you read the Bible? God doesn't change. It doesn't mean like, you know, one minute he's like, hey, you know, you can't sin, you got to, you know, and the next minute he's like, those ones, that's okay. No, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's no changing. And his laws are, like you put here, are non-negotiable. It's not like you can go barter with God and be like, hey, God, you know what? If I come to you in a week, that week prior, can I do whatever I want, be sinful, and then I'll come to you in a week? How's that going to work for you? You know, and just like you said, Paul and Agrippa's like, you almost persuaded me, Paul. I think he kind of did it more in like a, you know, he was maybe kind of persuaded, but he's kind of telling Paul, yeah, you almost got me. Kind of like, you know, nonchalantly. Mm-hmm. But hey, he was almost persuaded. You know, I mean, how many times do we talk to people and they're like, yeah, well, I still like to drink and smoke and do my own thing. And, well, I'll repent sometime down the road. Well, that sometime down the road might not come. You know, mm-hmm. That's why we have to be, you know, we have to be willing and able to do it now. You know, I mean, but I just love that phrase is, his words do not change and God's law is non-negotiable. There's no negotiate.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know, and you think about that today, you know, we see that a lot because, you know, I think people negotiate with God or try to, and they don't realize what they're doing when they're, I don't think sometimes they realize that that's what they're doing. When you hear people say things like, well, I know the Bible says, but don't you feel that? And that to me means, I know what it says, but we're going to negotiate it. I'm going to follow something else. And the last few points I want to bring up here before we close out here is, you know, we talked about how God has left us lessons about his love for man and his attitude towards sin. He severely punished Achan. Obviously, I mean, Achan, if I remember correctly, I believe he was stoned, right? There in Joshua. And so, and then we also see that clearly he sees all, he knows all, and will not let sin go unpunished. But they want to focus on is this last point about how sin hinders God's people. I think sometimes people today view sin as something that is going to help them, and so they postpone coming to God when they don't realize that sin is actually hindering them. Sin is a weakness, you know, because it's separating us from God. It's doing things that are many times sin can be flat out illegal, the laws of the land. But it also is hurting people around us. You know, mm-hmm. sin affects us, it affects those around us, and it's going against God's law. And so it's not something that helps the Christian. It's actually a great, or someone who is considering becoming a Christian, or just a person in general, it doesn't help anyone. All it does is hurt us. And I've said this before, I don't know if I said it on this program or not, and it's not original with me, but you hear people sometimes say that sin will take you further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And that is very true. You'll end up doing a whole lot more. You know, it's like the person gets invited to a party and they say, well, I'm just going to go this one time. And you end up doing things there that you didn't plan to do. Well, I'm going to leave it, you know, such and such time. I'm just going to go there till 10 o'clock and I'm leaving. Next thing you know, you're there till 2 in the morning doing stupid stuff you never thought you were going to do. Sin is the same way. Whether you're talking about drinking or partying or whatever it may be, it will take you a whole lot further, keep you a whole lot longer, and will cost you a whole lot more, especially when it comes to making those things right with God. Now I'm going to pause there and let Brother Matt add anything he'd like, and then we'll close this out here this morning.
Dude, that's great. No one must have got that from you, buddy, because he used that in a sermon a couple weeks ago. That was awesome.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, sin is an aid, you know. Sin is fun, like we talked about before we even started. In all honesty, I mean, you got to be honest with yourself. Sin is fun. Like you said, well, maybe going to a party. We don't go to parties. We don't do that type of thing. But, you know, sin is fun. You know, sometimes we have to cut back and be like, no, we don't do those things, you know. And those people are like, oh, no, come on, you know, hey, skip church for football game. Like, I got offered tickets to a Chiefs game the other day, you know, or the other afternoon. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what's going on. He wanted to invite my kids and everybody and sit in the nice seats. And I'm like, I appreciate it, but, you know, we got church. And he was very understanding about it. But, you know, sometimes when we allow even those little sins to creep in, like say that, oh, we could have went to the game, but we missed services in the evening. Or, you know, you can start those little vulnerabilities or whatever you want to call them, even in your kids' head of, oh, so I can miss church once in a while. You know, those little droplets of sin come in. And I'm not saying it's a huge sin, but I mean, that's a big thing. You know, we're supposed to be around the saints whenever we can. But I mean, I think it's like a battle, man, daily. And like I always tell my kids is, the devil's already got the world. He's coming after you, Christians, us Christians, you know, and it's hardcore. I mean, it ain't no just, you know, easy little things. No, he's all out. It's a war. It's a battle. And that's very important for us to understand.
Yeah, definitely. We want to make sure that we are, you know, God is up front with us, as we see in his word. And so we want to make sure that we're up front with him when it comes to how we're living before him, not concealing, trying to conceal things because it's impossible. But also we shouldn't have that desire to do so either. Okay, we're going to stop there today. We definitely can learn a lot from Achan and his example. The negative one, obviously, that he sets there for us there in Joshua chapter 7. But do thank you for listening today. We hope you join us again next time as we'll be looking at another character from the Old Testament. And hope to see you again next time. We thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting us at bywaymedia.org. You can also find us on several social media platforms now. We hope you enjoyed this program. We hope you will share with others. And as always, we thank you for listening.